The Wire.
Her collection at Te Papa includes a range of objects which connect Asia and Aotearoa. Emma works primarily in putting together exhibitions which showcase the intersection of diverse identities in New Zealand.
We are just going to pause there because that audio is not coming through the way that we wanted it to, so we apologise for that, and we won't play the other clips from that. But Sherry, can you talk us through what happened next?
Yeah, so later on, a student actually asks her how you manage on being sensitive and engaging in times of like distress or crisis as an artist, and how you can produce art responsibly. And Emma, she kind of talked on how you feel that tension of wanting to be there, you know, kind of respond to almost any social event, right? But as an artist, she was kind of saying how she herself was going to limit the amount of time she puts into writing. She wants to focus her energies on things that matter to her. So it's, so I think she was like talking about that artistic practice.
And then you also had an Elam student walking into the talk, and they were a bit late because they'd had a meeting with the faculty.
From what I've heard from the students, what had happened was a piece of artwork was hanging downstairs in their project space from I think like a PhD or master's student who was Pākehā, who had put up an artwork that had used Chinese characters and Chinese landscape in a way that was appropriating. So basically the student was meeting with the faculty and they were discussing how to better set up systems to educate on how not to do that again. So it was like it was an interesting conversation about, you know, the appropriation of art.
And we also, you spoke to Emma after the talk, right? But we're also not going to play that just because the sound, we've decided. But we're going to get in touch with her later and try and, or we'll try and figure that out and play it next week. But these are conversations also that have kind of come from last week, where we spoke to Julie Zhu and Nahyong Lee about their film
The Myth
of the Model Minority, which is a short film on TVNZ at the moment. And you guys actually ended up talking about representation of Asian New Zealanders, and we had a few texts come through which were a little bit offensive actually, and we didn't have time to respond to them properly last week. So Sherry would like to respond to
that. I would like to respond to that. So, I mean, obviously this is my own reaction, and I'm sure not everyone feels this way, but one of the first texts was someone giving me three examples of Chinese people. So I just want to say thanks to the, you know, former mayor of Dunedin, the Sehoys, who, I googled it, there was a gold rush miner from the 1800s in the Wongs, and I don't know who the Wongs are, but
so this person had texted in just saying, I think it was the former mayor of Gisborne, actually.
Gisborne?
Dunedin?
I'm not sure. Pretty sure it's they texted Dunedin.
Oh, did they? Mm. Well, I think that's wrong. Anyway, the point was that this person had texted in three names of Chinese people, also the Wongs, which we didn't understand whether that was family
or something. By there, but
the point of the text with, we believe, was to say that no, there are Chinese people represented in New Zealand.
But I just don't think those three people, you know, encapsulate the whole experience of the Chinese community. I'd just love to see more representation and diverse representation, and just like thanks for your three examples, but they're not that linked, you know, to the struggles and the stories of people here in New Zealand right now. And then we also had a second text, which was a bit of a kooky one. Basically, someone had given me their answer to the lack of Asian representation, and they basically said the problem is Asians marrying within Asians, so Chinese marrying within Chinese, and Indians marrying within Indians. And I just like to respond to that by saying, like, the engagement doesn't increase by having mixed race babies and like a hot Asian biddy. Right, like that's not going to solve the problem. And it's like a rhetoric we hear often, right, about minorities sticking within themselves. And, you know, I'd just like to say that, like, that is not true. So ethnic communities exist because, like, minorities feel safer sticking to a cultural and language group that they can understand. Right, this is not because they don't want to connect or engage with the place they've migrated to, but out of safety and familiarity. So it's nice to better eat the food your mum packs for you sometimes without being made of its smell. It's a human response to stick to what is familiar. So my parents immigrated here 20 years ago from China and settled in Mangere because they felt safer in an area with lots of people of colour and migrants. At the same time, just the other day, my friendly but also slightly tipsy father proceeded to compare wine bottles and offer to share a glass with everyone on the table sitting next to us. So a Pakeha family was sitting next to us in a Chinese restaurant. My dad also always asks what new reo words I learn after Māori class. So, like, there is always room for more dialogue and cross-cultural exchange and connection.